today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, time for another Code Pen Radio. This week we are titling the episode Evolution, and the idea for the episode comes from a Code Pen listener. Thanks so much, and I want to tell everybody out there, if you have an idea of a show that you'd like us to do, please write in and tell us. We'd be happy to check it out, potentially even do the show. We have lots of ideas, but we'd love yours as well. This one comes from, I think, Joe Kim. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. Joe Hansen, who wrote to us... Dear CodePen, I am writing to you because I would love to know how CodePen evolved. Like, did you have the whole thing figured out from the start, or just some core feature of it and then iterated around that? I'm asking because I recently got a project of my own funded. Congratulations, that's awesome. But I am dealing with a lot of doubt. Should I go with 100% my vision, or should I listen to the users I'm getting? Or I'm guessing there's some kind of middle road, something in between. How do you manage? Thanks for the question, Joe Kim. To set up the thing, I feel this. I feel this every day. I think we all, whether we are actively thinking it or not, are dealing with this if we're not actively thinking about it. And I actively think about it, which is the spectrum. Let's say that on the left of the spectrum is the vision. It is like what we want to build. I want this to work on CodePen. I want us to be building towards this goal. I have lots of ideas. I have written down ideas. I have things in my head that like... This is that internal thing. This is what I think CodePen can be. And then on the other side is the incoming, what other people think CodePen can be, what they write in with and say, I wish CodePen could do this, or even this is broken on CodePen and you should fix it, because that's kind of guiding what you're doing as well. So on the great spectrum, there is vision on the left and user requests on the right. And in day-to-day work, it's, of course, it's somewhere on that spectrum. Like all things in life, there's a spectrum, and what actually gets done is on the spectrum. It would be very, very weird to work on a project with only one way or another. But before I get too far, of course, it's not just me on this podcast. It's the three founders of CodePen, me, Chris Coyer, Alex Vasquez.
Hey there.
And Tim Sabat.
Hi, I'm Tim.
Yeah, sorry it went so long before introducing you guys. Normally it doesn't, not that long of an intro, but don't you feel that? Like wouldn't it be weird to work on our product and just totally ignore user feedback and only be like, no, I mean, we know what we want this thing to be, so we're only going to do that and nothing else? Wouldn't that be weird?
I can't even picture it. I don't know how to create software like that. I can't even think of a single piece of software that would work in that respect. Maybe like encryption software or something, where like the spec is the only thing that matters, you know?
But, oh, sure, yeah.
But other than that, no. How else would you learn?
Yeah, I mean, one of the best parts about running, having your site live, one of the reasons that I think getting your site up or your product up out is because you will get feedback. I mean, inevitably, you can kind of crowdsource concepts and ideas. You aren't always going to execute on them, but getting the feedback from how it's being used versus how you thought it was going to be used is one of the most valuable things that a company has, is feedback from the customers that are using it.
It's true, right? I mean, and there's plenty of examples of us. And feedback isn't always in the form of, dear CodePen, I'm writing you this email because this is how I think CodePen should work and operate. In fact, it rarely comes in that format. Once in a while, people just, you know, one off send a tweet like, man, why don't you do this or something? Or, you know, it can literally be in the form of snark. That is this feedback that you can get. Or it might be bug reports, or it might just be that you observe your users doing things just through the use of the product, and that's feedback. That's like, oh, I see. People are doing this. We should probably make that easier or more obvious or whatever. So just the usage of it is on that spectrum, towards the right of the spectrum, towards user requests. So I guess Tim is right in that respect. But also, I don't know. It's not our vision to not support certain things, but just this week, somebody wrote in and said, you know, like without snark in this case, when do you plan to support hacks or hacksy or something like that? It's this haxe.org. I don't know if you guys saw that request or have seen it before. It's not the first request we've had for that. And it's kind of one of those things like, I don't know. Like, we haven't really talked about it. I don't really know what it is. you know what I mean? It's one of these, like, you're asking for it and you're a user and you might even tell us you're going to pay for it, but it's kind of like, I just don't know how to respond, essentially. Like, probably not, because none of us seem very excited about it.
Sure, there's the excitement, and then there's just the, like, I think you've said this before, is that you feel like you have a pretty good bead on what is going on in the web development world. And if you've never heard of that thing, it's unlikely that this would have a broad reach. So is this the kind of thing that we want to react to, or is this the kind of thing where we're like, okay, we need to stick with our original vision because this is a single person writing in? If we got 10 requests for that in a week, it might be a different story. You know, I think of the preprocessors in that respect. We get requests for some pretty fringe preprocessors. I think Elm is one of them.
Oh, that's the other one that's in the same vein as hacks or whatever. Although I don't know how technologically they're related to each other, but it's one of those things where I'd love to do it, but there's, you know, only so many hours in the day. We don't know what the implications are of it. We don't know what the security level is of it. We don't know because we do know that there's some preprocessors that we already support, which get such a tiny bit of usage that we're almost at that level of regretting it. I think I'm probably on the, I don't really regret supporting things, and I think you're a little higher in some cases on the regret level.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of thought that has to go into, especially on the preprocessor level, getting the thing integrated, making sure it doesn't have security problems, making sure you've shored that up. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. And if it's disheartening to me to see like such a small number of people using something that we've spent so much time working on and we will ultimately have to support forever. So yeah, I mean, in terms of like vision, if unfortunately consequently, I rely on you for your vision in this respect. And when you're like, oh, this is a preprocessor that I think is coming up, the only thing I can say is like, yeah, let's do it, I guess. But looking at the numbers, it's a little disheartening to me, you know?
Yeah. Maybe we'll, you know, like another software development principle, maybe there'll be a point at which that we just do a little sprint on these so that our attention can be entirely focused on, okay, let's, you know, there's been enough requests for 3-4 of these new things. Let's just add them all at once and call that a sprint, you know. But that's not like the entire vision of CodePen. CodePen is, it offers preprocessors, but that's just one of many things that it does. So there's probably more to talk about a little bit. You know, I don't know if you guys have been watching Silicon Valley. I have, just because it's on after Game of Thrones, so you kind of have to watch it. Plus, it's a pretty hilarious show. Have you seen this season?
Yes, I've been watching it. I so good.
They're like, I don't know, it's hard to do this without spoilers, I guess, but they're having a problem with this very thing at the moment in which that the, what are they even called? It's the fucking Hooli. It's the opposite, not Hooli, because Hooli's the one that closed down.
Their company, Pied Piper.
Pied Piper. They're like, you know, making something that they didn't expect to be making based on some kind of internal feedback on the team, because they have like a sales team now. Hopefully that doesn't spoil too much, but it's like, that could happen internally too, that like there's user feedback, but there's also like the people that work with you feedback. So I guess that's kind of interesting too. Like when somebody that works for you has a different vision for your product than you do, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. I think about that. I mean, we meet with, you know, we talk with our investor pretty regularly, and I would say that we had a situation come up like this where, where we kind of talked about this vision that we've got for what's going on in the next 6 months. We're like, hey, this is what we're doing. We're kind of like pushing jobs aside a little bit, in the sense that like we had a different vision for jobs, and we're going to like still fulfill that vision maybe someday, but at the moment we're moving in this other direction. And his response was, you guys know your product best, but I can tell you what I think would make the most money is probably concentrating 100% on jobs. And he did say, yes, there's absolutely a balance between like keeping the like your user base happy and like monetizing the site. So he's like, I trust that what you guys are doing is the right thing. But I know that like if it was strictly on his feedback or, you know, his idea of how this thing is supposed to work, we would concentrate almost solely on jobs and kind of let the community aspect of CodePen just continue as it is for now until we locked that, like, the monetization in.
Yeah, I think I remember that. And I think he even had, like, an interesting way of espousing that, in which was, like, let's say you had to make, you know, as much money as you absolutely possibly could, do or die, life or death situation in the next 4 months. What would you do? Like, what would you do to absolutely maximize profit in the next 4 months? And then once you have your answer to that, then that's what you should do.
Right.
Or something like that. And I was like, not that I disagree with that, but like, that's like dangerous thinking, I think.
Well, and that, yeah. I mean, it's a hypothetical and we're not in that situation.
Right. That's the biggest deal, is we're not actually in that situation. Yeah.
Well, we could do, because we happen to be in a unique position where we could do shady things. I mean, a lot of companies are, so we're not unique in that, but we could make money off of our users' backs in a bad way if we wanted to. And that would probably be the number one way that we could make money in the next 4 months.
Yeah, retargeting is a perfect example. We get approached all the time about doing retargeting ads, like where we cookie our users and then that they get retargeted as they move down through the pipeline. And the numbers on those, especially in the early days, were really compelling. We were like, oh my God, we could make $10,000 to $12,000 a month with our traffic or whatever. Now that's not, that wouldn't have as big an impact on our bottom line. And it's still there. You know, that's still one of the things that if you were super shady and you're like, well, we need an extra $12,000, we're going to do this thing. You know, it's easy to kind of go down that road if you wanted to.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the interesting things is that we definitely have a vision for where the company should go. I think we collectively share it at the moment. And rarely does outside input like exactly direct that vision. Like, I feel like as far as feedback from users, like we'll get ideas for features and things like that, but which we will implement once we hear often enough, but it rarely does it set the vision. I still feel like you have to come up with your vision, because in the end, every one of these projects that we do is, you know, it could be over a decade of your life. So if you just spend a decade of your life implementing what users want, users are going to come and go, but you're still going to be working on that product. You have to be working towards kind of like a formal vision of where you want to get to, because you're always constantly, at this point, we've been working on CodePen for 4.5 years, I believe, maybe even longer. And so, you know, we've had many different users and lots of different input and things like that, but we definitely have a vision that we're always working towards.
I can tell you that's true. I mean, that's the case, especially because once in a while we have some things that feel like a feature or a market that we want to serve of some kind. And that feels like, we'll do a sprint on that, you know, coming up one of these quarters or something like that. And then it turns out that one of those turns out to be like, well, there's actually some prerequisites for us to get there. So if before we are viewing all of these things as like, this could be a sprint, this could be a sprint, this could be a sprint, whatever. Not that we directly talk about sprints, but we kind of end up working in that way anyway. It turns out that some of them are kind of like prereqs for other ones. So I think that's a kind of interesting thing to do with your vision, is like look at your vision all splayed out and be like, are some of these necessary to happen before other ones, or do they make sense in some kind of order? And it turned out for us that that's very much true, that there's this kind of this place that we want to get, or this thing that we want to build, or this thing that we want to sell that we can't do yet. We can't just do a sprint on it directly, because it kind of requires some different pieces to be in place first. And it's, you know, I know I'm talking abstractly about this, but I'm sure you can imagine and extrapolate this into your own project. It's like, you know what? We should build this first, and then we'll build this other thing, and then we'll build this third thing. And now we can piece all those together into what is the final thing.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about it concretely about stuff we've done in the past. I know that the idea of a job board came up very early in the evolution of CodePen, but your argument against the immediate inclusion of a job board, Chris, was that it's important that we build up a community community before we try and build up a piece that sells to the community, right? So, like, I remember that we were still in Palo Alto. This was years ago, 3.5 years ago, that I was like, hey, what about a job board? And you're like, well, job board would be good, but let's get, like, let's become the sort of de facto place to go for front-end web development before we start trying to become a place that sells to those people. And I think that was wise because, like, while job board wasn't the hardest thing to build, it still took some time and didn't get us, you know, we wouldn't be as far down the road as we are right now if we took time out to build that piece.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, and still, you know, we're still working on that type of thing. But imagine that's like, now that, you know, so let's say we wanted to like have a really compelling Teams product, which we still do, you know, but we ultimately did get the Teams product out. Now we could be like, well, now we want to have some kind of like, I don't know, homepage concept for a team, which we don't have yet. So maybe we build that. I don't even say we're going to build that. That's just like a thing I just made up. But now we have jobs done already and we have Teams done already. And let's say we built this like, homepage-ish type of product for Teams, we could like smash all those together and make that like a plan now, or make our Teams product more compelling, because let's say a team now automatically gets a free job posting or something like that. Again, not something that we're currently offering, but maybe we could. And it's kind of like a, now we have these different components and we can stitch them together and make that the kind of thing. So I think, you know, just relating this to vision, it's like, what's the thing that you ultimately want to sell? Maybe you can figure out what to work on and build components towards that final product. And that's absolutely what we're doing right now. There's lots of things that are kind of in the pipeline that once they're all done and get stitched together, become a lot more compelling, I think. Ah, that's kind of cool. So sometimes people ask you, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but if somebody writes in and they tell you that they'll pay you if only you offered this special feature, that's like the worst advice ever. Like I find like that's the worst one, because there's two reasons for that. One is I hate that, and they never will pay you, even if you do exactly what they say. And it's one person. That's not going to move the needle. You have to be a pretty tiny company for one customer, or sell products that are so enormously huge, in which case you know when you're in that position. I mean, if that's the case, if you only need three customers to be a product, then you probably should do whatever your customers tell you to do.
Yeah, especially in early stage, that's kind of the idea of you're sort of a pilot application for another business, and they absolutely depend on you, and you grow out of that. But we're not in that situation with the price tag that we have. If we spent any time building one feature for one user, we've lost a ton of money. That's for sure.
Yeah, literally. I mean, even if it was just if the only thing that we factored into that was your time, we would lose it.
That's a big factor. I mean, that's our biggest expense is our time in this company. You know,
and that's probably most companies out there that we're talking to and are listening to this show are things where lots of customers are the case. The goal is, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of users. And that does affect scale in a way, and that your loudest users are important to listen to, but are still just one user, and you need to be like using some weird gut instinct kind of sense to figure out if they're representative of lots of users or not, which is tricky.
Yeah, I mean, we get one-off requests. I feel any, especially at the beginning, I feel like you're more susceptible to do those one-off projects because you're kind of more anxious to get users on board. And that is always a very difficult stage. When someone tells you, hey, I would be one of your first users if you did exactly what I want you to do, and you very much want those people to join or start using your product. I don't think we're as susceptible now because we've got enough influences across the board that we know anytime you do anything, you're taking away from something else. So
we even literally talk about it. I like, you know, I'll hear Marie say all the time, kind of like, well, one person wrote in asking this, and she's very like clear about the fact that this came up, but, you know, asterisk as always, It's literally one person. Not to say, I feel like this is discouraging to people listening. We still want to hear from you in a way. It's not like we're automatically discounting things, especially if it like feels like a reasonable kind of thing, you know?
Well, it's one. We talk about one request. It might just be the first request. The next week, she might come back with 10 more people asking for that. So that I wouldn't want to discourage you from writing in because you might just be the first drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the final straw on the back or whatever.
Right.
In a good way.
Yeah, I always think of it as every request for a feature, for something to change, is like a vote for it. And if you get enough votes, then it kind of crosses the line and gets added to the list of things we'll do. You know, we're constantly working on CodePen, and it's not something where, at this point, it takes a lot of planning to move the team in a specific direction. I don't think we can just add one-off things as quickly as we used to, but every vote counts, and it's always good to hear what people want. Just because even if you don't do the feature that someone wants, you kind of tease out how they're using it, and maybe you can still get a workaround until we implement that feature.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've seen... This is pretty wild to me, and I always kind of... Not exactly laughed at it, but been like, man, I couldn't work in that way. When you see a product company that's just like, basically, you vote on what we do next. You know, like there's a public way and you vote, and whatever you vote is the highest. That's what gets developed by us. We've always thought that is, you know, again, that's a twofer of weirdness. It's saying, first of all, you're totally subject to somebody else's whim, which is weird. But it also signals kind of a lack of vision, you know, be like, I'll just build whatever you want. Yeah, that's weird. People might actually pull a joke on you, and potentially.
Yeah.
But I think user voice is—they even use CodePen, but I think that's kind of a product that's like that in a sense. That's not how they build their stuff, but they build a product that's kind of for that, or giving your users a voice in how that goes, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. And it can probably be mixed with a vision. You know, it might actually be a feel good for your users to be like, oh, wow, I actually have some kind of say in what happens around here. There's probably some kind of balance. There's some kind of in between that works for that. I mean, yeah,
I guess maybe if you control which things can be voted on, if you're like, okay, we want to implement these five things, it'd be interesting to figure out what the community thinks is the top number one thing of those five things to do. That feels okay to me, but just having an open-ended, like, what should we build? We have this web page, and now you will bolt anything onto it that you want. I don't know. I think of that GitHub project that will accept any pull request, and like the insaneness that ensues inside of there. Have you guys ever seen that project?
No, but that seems like an awesome kind of like artistic thing, you know?
Yeah, they just accept any pull request. I don't know what it's called exactly, but it's really, really good. Go check it out.
I wonder if they have Travis CI stuff in there too. Oh, who knows? Maybe they do 1 minute and not the next.
It's called I'll Accept Anything. the project where literally anything
goes.
That's
the purpose of the project. That's great.
So of course it's a spectrum indeed. And so, and part of this is time management too, right? It's like, it's not like we say, okay, 50% of our time is on vision projects and 50% of our time is on user requests. It's not that simple, but that's why it ends up in my brain every day, is that it's very easy to get sucked away into the immediacy of bugs and user requests and little tweaks and stuff. And have that feel draining, because it's every time you are accommodating for that, your time is drifting away on the vision stuff, which is dangerous. And we watch for that. I try and bring it up any opportunity I can for me and the team. Is like, okay, this is what we did. Good. Some of that felt knee jerky. So keep your eye on the prize here. X is the project of the day. You know, like that's the thing that you should be focusing your mind on as much as you possibly can. I don't know if we're doing a good job of that or not, but I it's not like projects are being completely abandoned or anything. I just feel like...
No, I get it. Today in the stand-up, I was like, hey, guys, this is cool that Jake worked on these things, but what if, What if, like, you're working with Jake on a thing that's not payment related and you think, hey, could Tim be doing this instead of Jake right now? Because Jake's just working on this really difficult and complicated piece, and anything that pulls him away from that is like, you know, prolongs the amount of time it takes for payment to make it out. So, yeah, keeping your vision and your goal in mind is important.
So, Joe Kim, I just think, yeah, I mean, I guess you're in some probably earlier stages, although you, to be fair, you wrote this question in kind of a long time ago. So I suspect that it's been on our list a little too long. Sorry about that. But I suspect that you're well on your way to making this product, and you probably have already found that it's some kind of middle road between those things. And I feel like going too far in either direction, we've talked about during this show, that it's a little too dangerous, that ignoring people is too dangerous and only doing what people say is too dangerous. So hopefully there's a strong vision in there at all, which is good. There certainly is in our case. I wanted to say that, you know, we talked about jobs a few times. We always like to do a shout out for that at the end of the show. If you hate your job, looking for a new one, or are hiring, job boards both work both ways. Check out codepen.io/jobs. We hear lots of good feedback from it all the time. It's a small niche board. It's really for web designers and front-end developers, you know, and that's what it's focused on. So that's what it's been serving particularly well. We have a lovely story that I'd love to read from Nick Burress, who had good luck on the board. Nick writes in, I wanted to give a shout out to the CodePen team. I left a pretty good career about a year ago to pursue web development, which I was already into. I have spent a lot of my time learning since then, and a lot of that has been with CodePen, not to mention that the team, there are some favorite writers, teachers, biggest influencers. You've given me the tools, including CodePen itself, and the confidence through picked and harder pens that I lacked 1 year ago. This morning, I accepted a job offer that I found on the job board right here on CodePen.
Nice.
Starting Monday, I will be getting paid more than I ever have made to do what I wanted to do professionally for close to 5 years, and you guys have a ton to do with that.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah, congratulations. Learned on CodePen, got a job through CodePen. That is good stuff. You too can get a job on the CodePen job board. And I'm sure as this industry goes, Nick will probably be in charge of hiring before long and be posting on our job board. I hope that's how the world turns. Until next time, folks.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Seven, six, zero, three, one, eight.